It's Friday, December 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and we've got a great show for you. Got a lot of articles on tap, and yes, there is alien life on Earth. You know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Whispering confirmed.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Honolulu. Hey, I want to welcome all the longtime listeners. I want to welcome the Ohana. Thanks for being subscribed. And of course, thanks for coming and hanging out and watching or listening to the show today. And boy, I tell you, it's been a very, very busy week here, as you can expect. Lots of stuff going on in the hopper. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Of course, we want to welcome the listeners from 178 countries worldwide. Let's see if I can get that out of my mouth. And welcome to the show. And of course, if you're new to the show, or if you've been a subscriber for a while and you're not yet getting our newsletter, the newsletter is really where I break it down for you. It's where I give you all the links to all the things I'm going to talk about tonight. So it's really important that if you're not signed up for the newsletter, consider doing that. Get signed up for the newsletter. That way you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show, of course. Of course, subscribe to the podcast as well. You'll find links to the main to that content right there on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the archive podcast via the podcast link as well. And, of course, there's going to be some new links on the website after the show tonight as well, linking to a new tech podcast site that we've launched. We'll talk about that here in a second. If you're watching us tonight on Ustream, thanks for hanging out. And, of course, I know many thousands of you are now watching the show either on Boxy or on the Roku, and soon to be Samsung IPTV. So we want to welcome you guys to the show as well. Well, I tell you, it's the first show of the month, and want to take and basically thank the sponsors. You know, we try to make sure we take care of the sponsors here, and really they take care of me and keep the lights on. So I want to thank, of course, GoDaddy. I want to thank Luxer. I want to thank GoToMeeting for being sponsors again here in the month of December for the Geek News Central podcast. It's really important, and I hope that you will support the sponsors as the month goes on, and we'll have a few messages about those particular entities here in a few minutes, but thanks for sponsors for being here. Well, I just want to update everyone. If you've been watching the national news whatsoever, you probably have seen the updates on my cousin's kids in Michigan. They're still missing. They have not been found. The father is now in police custody, criminal kidnapping or something like that, or parental kidnapping, something to that effect, is a charge that he's been charged with. I have not been bothering my aunt at all the last couple of days. I've been kind of getting information through my mom, but obviously the family continues to be distressed as well. I would be too, sitting there in their shoes. It's a little bit different being here in Hawaii. I'm kind of away from it, but we're still thinking about that and hope for the safe return of the children, even though it's already been a week now that they've been missing. So we can only see and only, you know, hope and pray that that there's, you know, someone is holding them or something to that effect. But anyway, keep you guys updated. You guys will probably know long before I do, based on what's being published in the news these days, or you'll know as much as I do on what's being published in the news. But anyway, we'll keep on moving there from there. Hey, as I talked about on the last show, Chris had broken his arm, and we got him home after the first iteration at the emergency room. And everything was, we thought, was good. He was adapting well to his splint. And the next morning he woke up and he said his hand still hurt. And we didn't quite know what to expect from a, you know, we thought there would be a certain amount of pain, obviously. But it became evident when school was wrapped up that something wasn't right. His hand was swelling up. We took him back to the hospital. They took him right to pediatrics. Actually took him to ortho. And the they took the splint off and got a couple more x-rays and said, oh, we need to do something here. When was the last time you ate? My wife is like, 30 minutes ago. She goes, okay, 8 hours from now, or we're going to have to sedate him and get this bone set right. And so there was obviously an issue. So at like midnight, they tried to get a vein for an IV, and they had problems doing that. I think they stuck him like five times. That was the worst, watching that happen. And, so, you know, it just was one of those things that one thing led to another, and 4 o'clock in the morning, we're back here with him finally, you know, in a condition that probably should have been the first day. And, from that standpoint, I feel pretty good about where we're at right now. He's, today I had to actually calm him down. You need to take it easy, buddy. You're only got one limb to catch yourself if you fall down. But we're on the road to mending, and we'll go back in about another week to see how we're doing. But anyway, that's, you know, that hurdle is crossed and we're good. So, hey, you know, so anyway, a lot of the thank you notes or well wish notes from email and stuff. Thanks for that. Appreciate that from everyone. That definitely has been appreciated. Hey, you know, if you're looking for a domain name, if you're looking for a hosting account, if you're looking for a place to stake your claim on the internet, GoDaddy is really the place to do that. GoDaddy.com has the absolute best hosting service available. It's the most inexpensive, and you can save a lot of money by using my promo codes. So when you are looking for a hosting service, or you're looking to give a present as a, you know, if you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll get my wife a domain and maybe get her a website set up and present that to her at Christmas, no better place than to start at GoDaddy.com. All their hosting accounts have basically one-click install of like a WordPress blog, so you really don't even need to know how to do any of that stuff. And all you really would have to do once you get the account set up and get in there is really go in and pick a template and be ready to blog and actually start even podcasting right away. So consider GoDaddy as your hosting service. And if you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central and use that promo code Todd20. That'll save you 20% off on a one-year shared hosting account. You can use ComSale or ComSale2 for .com purchases and .com renewals. So definitely try those two codes. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. You can find all of my codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. If there's a code there for everybody, definitely check them out. And we want to thank you for your ongoing support of GoDaddy here at Geek News Central. Hey, one thing that we launched this morning, actually announced it in a press release we put out. We launched TPN.TV today. And I'm really excited about this site. Actually, let me bring it up. And let me tell you the origins of the site. If you look, let me go ahead and bring it up here in the monitor. And, oops, did I click the right one? Let me go ahead and now flip the switch. Oh, that was dumb. And you can see the design. And we've just got some ads running up here. But up here in the right-hand corner, I've got a Twitter stream. Down a little bit lower, we've got videos that the team members that are going out to CES have put together. We have the place for the live video stream. This is where we're going to have all our live video when we're at CES. Of course, we've got our Luxor ad here. I'll talk about them in a minute. And then just regular content. But what really kind of, was the basis of this design was I was over on Conan O'Brien's website. And obviously, they got a lot more stuff going on than what we do here. And I told Brian, our creative director, I said, Brian, I love the Conan site. I said, can we duplicate as much of that as possible? So what you see here is kind of our iteration of that design. And I'm really happy with this thing so far. It's working out good. If you come to it with a iPad, and it looks great. So this is where we're going to be doing really Grand Central Station here is where we're going to be shoving you guys to when we go out to CES. Now, what's going on with TPN.TV? And so that there's no confusion, is this is going to be a site where we're going to do nothing but collaborative type of shows. If I have three or four podcasters from the network, from Tech Podcasts that are working together, we'll allow them access to this site. TechPodcast.com will still be the place where you'll be able to find all the technical podcasts. But right here at TPN.TV is a place where we're going to really do collaborative work with the tech members, and we hope this will grow over time. Of course, one of the sponsors we announced earlier in the week was Luxor. Luxor is going to be the home base of the team at CES, and they've extended some fantastic room rates for those of you that are considering going out to Las Vegas, maybe for New Year's or maybe just to get away for a weekend. And basically, if you come over to the website, either TPN.TV or Geek News Central, you'll find a Luxor banner or something in the show notes. All you got to do is click on that. That's going to lead you into the booking area of the Luxor Las Vegas Hotel and Casino. And that's going to get you some discounts that aren't readily available to everyone else. So definitely check out the offers there. And as I told you in the last show, we toured the hotel, went through, and they've got renovated rooms. And really, it's almost a brand new hotel. And I was really excited to be able to go and base and stay there and run our operations out of the hotel. So we're excited to have them on board as a sponsor and hope that you'll, if you consider them as a place to go stay when you're heading out to Las Vegas next time. They've got great rates. They guarantee that they'll beat most of the rates in town. So we'll be bringing a lot more stuff, of course. We'll be talking about the hotel when we're in Vegas. But for now, that's be it. Let me move on to my list here and look at the, what have I got left here? We talked about the beginning of the month. Everything's going pretty good. I'm waiting on my green screen, though. That's one thing that is still missing. We haven't put the green screen up yet. And I got a small green screen behind one of the cameras here. They're trying to play with that, and it just wasn't big enough. So I thought it was going to be delivered yesterday, and I was basically trying to figure out from FedEx where it was en route. I got so much stuff on order coming in. My wife is like, what in the heck are you doing? It's like Christmas come early for me every two or three days when a new box of stuff shows up for CES. Had a little bit of a scare today because some headsets we had ordered, actually some real nice lavalier type headsets that are, you know, basically the same type that like rock stars use. Those were canceled because they weren't going to be available until January 8th. So I had to call my contact at Sweetwater and say, hey, I need some help. I need some specific headsets, and he got them on order for me and promises to get them to me by the 15th of this month. So a little more, you know, basically all this stuff's going to start shipping right after Christmas to head to Vegas. And boy, I don't even want to look at my FedEx bill this year, but we're going to have, man, this thing's shaping up to be great. So I'm really excited about what we're going to be able to bring to you from Vegas this year. And just, it's going to be cool. And I just, at this point, I'm trying to think, we've got it all figured out on how to get in and what we're going to do and get set up. But when we tear down, I got to get everything tore down in one day and everything out. So now I'm planning, I'm beyond the what we're going to do during and before and everything else. Now I'm actually planning the what do we do when the show ends and how do we get this, you know, literally $70,000 worth of gear out of the Las Vegas Convention Center and back into a van so we can go to FedEx and ship the stuff to where it needs to go. It's going to be kind of crazy. It is, but it's, hey, comes with the territory, but we'll definitely make sure that you know how it all goes as we talk about it in the back channel. Okay. Let me go ahead and talk a little bit about GoToMeeting, and then we'll get into the regular content tonight. I was using GoToMeeting this morning for a collaboration session with a couple of team members. And, you know, colleagues are in different offices. My team is spread out across the country. Jeff's in New York. Angelo and Cameron are in Ohio. Barry's in Michigan. Brian is in Denver. So oftentimes we'll get into a session meeting, and we'll start talking about stuff. And basically it's cool because the guys can see exactly what I'm showing them, or Brian can show me something creative. And it's basically, it really works well when you have team members spread across the country. And as the holidays come up, really business doesn't stop. So you're going to want to consider how to keep your colleagues engaged on what's going on. Obviously, we're in a world today where you're on vacation. You're not necessarily 100% on vacation. And at least I never am. I don't feel. So try Citrix by GoToMeeting. I mean, GoToMeeting by Citrix. It's a great online conferencing solution. And you know, a whole team can attend a meeting at the same time. You guys know that I use GoToMeeting and hope that you give it a try as well. So as a listener of this show, you can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. That's 45 days of unlimited meetings. Again, all you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code podcast. Click the Try It Free button and enter the promo code podcast over at GoToMeeting.com. All right, thanks to GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. Let's go ahead and get into the crux of all the content tonight. And boy, I've got a stack of it here for you. Let me go back down. A couple of small articles that jumped right out at me tonight. If you're an Android user, you're definitely going to want to check out. There's a new Flash Player update that's been released. Flash Player 10.1.105.7 is available. Some bug fixes, but it is available out there for you to download. Definitely check that out. Install the update. They had just within like 24 hours about 250,000 downloads. So be aware that the Adobe servers are getting taxed heavily. You guys know that I've been using Chrome a lot, and I find myself using it more and more for a lot more content. But today, over at Download Squad, they announced that Google Chrome 8 has gone stable. In other words, this is a build that Google has put on the website, which now brings app support, a built-in PDF viewer, some expanded sync options as well. And again, these are experimental builds. The release version of Chrome right now is 7.something, and this is the actual version 8 that's due to be released at some point here in the near future. But Chrome 8 is on the stable channel, so definitely be able to download that. And if you want to experiment with Chrome, it's available for you to download. For those of you that want to get that early look at version 8 of Chrome. Also, if you've been on YouTube and seen these new ads, they're called True View ads, and they actually let you stop the ad after 5 seconds of running. I wish Ustream would implement those, because you know, most of you that are watching on Ustream tonight, what did you have to sit for? You had to sit through about the first 30 seconds of a video. And you know, if you load a couple of channels up from time to time, it gets a little annoying seeing the same ad again and again. And I hope they're making a lot of money on those things, because all they do is continue to pop up, and we're a little bit worried about it for our CES coverage, but we don't know of any other provider that at this point can handle what we say we're going to throw at them. And they've guaranteed to be able to keep us online with 10,000 plus people on the stream during CES. So, you know, that is a big deal to us, is be able to stay online the entire time and not get bumped off. So I guess it's the price of, you know, being on Ustream. And then, you know, they got this you can buy your way out to plan, but we would probably go through $1,000 worth of ads in probably a couple of hours based on what we've done in previous years at CES. But anyway, this new YouTube TrueView, these ads allow you to skip them. And they say that the advertisers are going to be happy about this, because they are not going to get charged for an ad that you don't watch. And plus, Google's going to be able to, for a better word, build a library of what you like to watch and what you don't like to watch. So I would see more relevancy coming in from YouTube on the TrueView video ads. So we'll keep you advised. If you see some of these, definitely let me know and how your experience was with them. Well, tonight I just about fell out of my chair. And this was an article that came from the folks at eHome Upgrade. And in all honesty, I'm loading here for you. I was really just pretty much flabbergasted. HP announced today that they're dropping the MediaSmart server line. Of course, this is powered by Windows Home Server. You guys know that I've owned two of these. Started out with their very first model. Then earlier this year, I upgraded the machine I had. Didn't have enough get up and go on it because of all the computers we added to it. But they've decided to pull the plug on this. And I've got a contact over HP that I sent an email to tonight when I found this. And I'm like, you guys need to talk to me and tell me what's going on here. But if you are a Windows Home Server fan and you want to buy the next generation Windows Home Server, of course, it probably has, you know, that's going to be a lot dependent upon if they leave the some of the features in there where we don't have four different drive letters. But the version that's being worked on by Microsoft right now is called Veil. And OEMs like Acer, Asus, Lenovo, Lacy are going to be building them. But if you want a unit from HP, they're already sold out, not available anymore. And they've already went back to other storage solutions like Data Robotics Drobo. And I was like, I got a Drobo sitting underneath the desk here that I use with my Mac, and it's too slow. And I got one of the original Drobos, don't get me wrong, but it takes forever to back anything up to that. And it's, you know, it's connected via USB. I mean, it, oh my God, it's slow. And, you know, this HP just runs in the background. I never really have to pay attention to it. It's connected to the internet. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't know why Windows has, I mean, my HP has dropped these after they made such a huge push on them. And in fact, I know that Jeffrey over at Geekazine had a unit, a brand new unit that they released that he reviewed 2 or 3 months ago. So to them, to kill this line off is amazing. And I don't know what that means for software support either, but only time will tell. But I'm definitely going to be asking HP some very hard questions when I get my rep on the phone tomorrow. And we'll follow up with you guys on the next show. Hey, over on Engadget, they're talking about this. You guys, anybody live in Denver? Well, I guess the bomb squad over there today blew up a 8-inch robot. And I'm going to put up the link here. You can't hardly see this. I guess some kid's toy was just out near, you know, in some area near Coors Field, and a citizen called the police, and they brought the bomb squad in and shut down a bunch of an area downtown and then blew this thing up. Well, obviously, a toy was a toy, but I guess the location of it got people a little nervous. But if you live in Denver, bomb squad had a little fun today. When I was reading, I've been reading up about these, about the Chevy Volt. I've been talking about a variety of different vehicles that are coming on the market this year. Did you guys know? Now, I don't know how much the government still owns of Chevy or GM, but did you know that for every vehicle that GM sells, every Chevy Volt they sell this year, they're not making a profit on it? It's a loss leader. They're only going to make 10,000 Volts this year. And every one of them, they lose money on. I guess I don't get that. I guess, well, what they're saying is they got to get this technology dialed in. And hopefully next year, they'll be able to build more units and not lose as much money. Why would you build a product? Why would you build a product where you're losing money on? Didn't that issue that got them into trouble before, and we had to use our taxpayer dollars to bail them out, and then they said that this vehicle actually wasn't an electrical vehicle, it was a vehicle that had the engine assist, and it's just a hybrid? Wow. Our government taxpayer dollars at work. You know, that's a government entity. Hey, you don't care if they lose money, right? Oh, simply amazing. All right, remember we talked about this Xbox 360 trial that was getting ready to start? Well, it's all over. The government dismissed the case. And federal prosecutor Alan Chu announced on the third day of the trial that the government was dropping its case against him based on fairness and justice. This is his quote-unquote. Now, apparently this did not come as a complete surprise because they had introduced evidence on Wednesday that said an undercover agent testified against the individual named Crippen, who was on trial, claimed the defendant used a pirated game to test a modded console in his presence. Now, according to the article over on Engadget, that detail required for the prosecution's case was never mentioned in any of the previous reports or sworn declarations. So once a judge dismissed it as evidence, the case against Crippen hit a snag. And apparently that's what undid them. Now, with the government dismissing this, I'm not a legal beagle here. So I'm sure what that means is that federal prosecutors can probably come back and recharge him and make sure that through the discovery process, all this evidence is laid out. But maybe not. I don't know. Again, I'm not a legal guy, so that's, you know, probably a good question to be asked. Hey, I do have a quick question. If you guys are on Ustream watching tonight, I'm running a higher bandwidth tonight. I'm trying to push and see how close we can get to HD without saturating bandwidth. Let me know how the video looks, if you could, in chat. I'd definitely appreciate that. That would help me out a lot. So anyway, the Xbox 360 case has been dismissed. So, at least for now, this guy is free to go. How many of you guys use the AVG antivirus suite? Well, many of you may have, you're probably not watching this show if you received the update this morning. But antivirus company has inadvertently released an update that takes out the 64-bit edition of Windows 7. And after the update runs, a stop error is indicated on the machine, and really the only way to recover from this is to break out your recovery disk or repair a partition to fix your Windows boot files. So here's a little advice for everyone. And if you've had a machine and it's been, you know, a while, maybe it's a good time to get your stack of DVDs out and build yourself a repair disk or recovery disk. Now build a new one. Just get a fresh set made. Might be a good time to look at backing your machine up. And that's something I do periodically. I have a little reminder that a tasker that comes up and basically says, "Hey, Todd, it's been 30 days. Are all the machines backed up? Are you good to go?" And of course, it also prompts me for my offsite storage. I'm still taking hard drives to a safety deposit box and swapping those out each month as part of my ability here to keep data. We're almost to the point where we got to go to three drives, but I take that content, and it's basically all my video content, all my pictures, everything that's in the house. In case there's a fire, at least the only thing that gets burned up is in at least one, you know, there's a set of drives in a safety deposit box. Now I got a lot of stuff on the cloud as a backup as well, but I can't back everything up to the cloud. I just have too much media. So, you know, this is a good time, and you get some extra time here, getting ready to come on vacation maybe for the holidays. This might be a great time to back up your machines and just, you know, make sure that everything is good, so that if you have one of those catastrophic failures that happens to all of us when it goes, the hard drives go south or something, this might be a great time to do it. But if you are, you know, using AVG, you're probably not listening to the show because you're probably rebuilding your machine. Hey, just want to remind you that the Podcast Awards is open for voting. Huge numbers. Huge number of votes. I think the first night we had 500 and some thousand votes came in the first 24 hours. So that's up and running. So make sure you go over to podcastawards.com and vote for your favorite podcast. Hey, we're on Geek News Central. KL wrote a article on Get Glue. I wasn't familiar with this before. And so it's nice to, you know, always get some exposure to some new services out there. But GetGlue is a social sharing service that is available through the web, iPhone, iPad, or the Android. And it allows you to share not only what you're watching or listening to, but also what you're reading, thinking about, eating. And she says in her article, the first thing you do when you join GetGlue is you have the opportunity to rate various categories, including movies, music, actors, artists, books. Based on how you rate things, GetGlue offers you suggestions of things you might like, and getting suggestions from GetGlue is especially useful when you first join and you don't have many followers. As you get more followers, suggestions get better and more accurate. Also, when you rate and review things, you can win actual physical badges. One thing it also does is shows you can review something, and if a friend of you does the same review, you can kind of see where you guys sit opinion-wise. And you can do that amongst friends. It doesn't have to be something that's real publicly known. But definitely check Get Glue out. And the address is just as it sounds, getglue.com. Hey, Andrew is one of our contributing writers at Geek News Central. And he wrote up an article as well on the Sony Reader Pocket Edition, the PRS350. And a pretty nice little ebook. And he's done a great review on that. I think he actually got a review unit provided to him by Sony. And so our writers are actually starting to get gear, which is cool. And we encourage them to go out. And if they have the ability to get some gear to review, we encourage them to do that. And so that's, you know, one thing of being, you know, a writer here at Geek News Central. It gives you the ability to, you know, immediately get some clout. And people know the website well. A lot of our vendors do. And we're always looking for new writers. So if you are you want to consider being a writer at Geek News Central, send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, over on Lifehacker, there is a good write-up. And this is for those of you that aren't afraid of jailbreaking your iPad. You can stream any video to your Apple TV. No pre-conversion is required. But it does require you doing a little bit of hacking to your iPad. And this is pretty cool what they've come up with here. There's a good video on this. You can check it out. So if you have an iPad and an Apple TV, and you're not afraid of jailbreaking your iPad, what this makes the ability to do is you can really do any video whatsoever without having to do any conversions to make it into the Apple format. So I have that right up for you. Actually, link to that in the show notes for you. Over at MakeUseOf.com, they've, and this is something I was playing with tonight because I've had some challenges with my usually the download speed on the internet here hasn't been too bad recently, but I've been getting hit with basically just sluggish web page loading. And so this article was really on the nick of time here. It was actually put up yesterday. So it talks about how to improve bad results. And so it takes you through a whole process of steps that you can do to double check things within your connection to make sure that, you know, you're getting all the bandwidth you should be and something else isn't using it. So I have this link up for you in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, I got to congratulate the folks over at Revision 3. You know, Jim Lauterbach over there, he's a smart guy. Him and I really see eye to eye when it comes to where things are going in the over-the-top space. And what they have done at Revision 3 is they have created a Media Center plugin. Of course, I'm immediately insanely jealous. I think this is very cool. You know, initially, there was only Netflix, which you could really install on Media Center, Windows Media Center. But now, the Rev3 plugin comes in a 32-bit as well as 64-bit AMD for a bit version for both AMD and Intel. And Jim, congratulations on this. I think this is very cool. Really wonder if they did it themselves in house or if someone built it. Does any of you guys? And if you guys building apps for Windows Media Center, if you are, you need to send me an email right away. You know, we had not really thought about building an app for Windows Media Center, but after reviewing what he's done here and actually playing with it on this machine that I'm looking at right now, man, two thumbs up. So you guys know we're already in the Roku. You guys know that we're in Boxy. You know we're going to be in Google TV here soon, Samsung IPTV, Vudu, and so forth. But, you know, Windows Media Center, and along with Xbox 360 and extending that, it's big. It really, really is. I've been watching what they've been doing over there, and I tell you, anything I can do to copy is, I guess, good flattery. Watch what the best do and try to reproduce it to your best of your ability. All right, if you're looking for for a Christmas present that just is unique, and of course, with all the news about North Korea upping their uranium processing, there's nothing better than giving glow-in-the-dark uranium soap. Yes, this is a bar of soap that glows in the dark, and it's labeled, of course, element 92, uranium. And so if you want to check this out, you can follow the link to Ogizmo, and you can order this. $6.99 is the price, and probably for a for a Christmas present, pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. And I might just order some just because, and have guests come in and see that, and that's awesome. If you got an older iPhone and you want a flash unit for it, there's some opportunities out there. $40 will get you one. It's called iFlash, and it's a small device that plugs into the docking station of your iPhone. And obviously, when you take a picture, it flashes. So I have that link up for you in the show notes to check out as well. But this next item, all right, how many of you ride motorcycles? Okay, how many of you like, or can't wait to see the Tron movie, the new Tron movie, the redone Tron movie? Well, if you take the Tron movie and you take a motorcycle hybrid, what you come up with is a $55,000 Tron light cycle. This thing is awesome. And, you know, I'm not even a motorcycle driver, but the video on this, if you look at the test drive, you know, these guys built this thing just basically on from concept, you know, using some snaps that people have seen from some trailers and so forth. But very, very cool. Now, I don't know if they did the neon lighting or any of that stuff, but there is, you know, for the guy that has everything, a $55,000 motorcycle by the folks at the Parker Brothers Corporation. So pretty cool stuff. All right, let's talk a little bit about Oz. And man, oh man, he's, you know, Oz has been making the rounds. And today, he, Steve Wozniak, went around with some folks from the technologizer.com and some other websites. I think CNET was there as well. And they walked through the Computing History Museum in Silicon Valley. And this is pretty cool. The Computer History Museum is going to open its first full-blown exhibit. And Oz walked through it with a bunch of people. They took a lot of pictures. Obviously, the museum did a press day to do a sneak peek. Can't wait to get back in the valley and be able to go through this place. But this is probably my article of the day of cool stuff. And I really wish someone had done a video of all this. But basically, Woz was the tour guide and walked them through and talked about stuff and his experiences. And man, awesome. Really, really awesome. So anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes for you. Actually, let me give you guys that are on Ustream just a quick sneak peek at this. And you guys can actually see it here. It's loading. But, you know, it's early computers. It's, you know, old IBM mainframes, some computers that gave Steve some, Steve and Woz, the, you know, some ideas about Apple. And then, of course, some of the old school hardcore computers that were built early on. But this is a great piece, and I encourage you to check it out in the show notes. All right, a lot of stuff in going on in peer to peer space, and also, you know, ever since the United States last week took down all of those sites, there's been this concentrated effort to come up with something different. And what some folks are doing is they're starting a new project. It's called the Decentralized Open Domain Name System. Now, I want you to think about this right now. Right now, the internet controls all the really domain names out there, .com, .me, .tv, et cetera, right? So what these what the hackers are doing is they're saying, you know, if the United States can go to the internet and have a domain seized, you know, what's them to stop, you know, from taking any site down that they want? So they want to build something that is really, I guess, for a better word, seizure-proof. And so this system that they're designing will exchange DNS information through peer-to-peer transfer and will work over a new .p2p domain extension. So you're actually, in some point here in the near future, you're going to be able to go to a top-level domain at .p2p that is not sanctioned by anyone, not controlled by any country, only controlled by hackers, and the DNS and all that stuff is run through basically BitTorrent. And this is pretty exciting stuff. You know, I'm not saying that people should not be held accountable for stuff that they do that's illegal. But I'm just thinking about the ramifications of, let's say, dissidents in Iran, people in different countries being able to put some sort of a website up that is essentially not able to be pulled down at the whim of a governmental agency. And it uses people like you and I and anyone else that wants to be involved to maintain the DNS system in order to serve websites. So the .p2p project was started last week, or earlier this week, and developers are already making some significant progress on what they're doing. The project, and here's the kicker, the project has been embraced by many familiar names in the peer-to-peer space. Former Pirate Ray spokesman Peter Sunday is among them, and people from Easy TV have been promoting it as well. Now, one thing they say here is that although the initiators of the project are still debating on various technical issues on how the system should function, it seems that the administrative part has been thought out. The peer-to-peer domain registration will be handled by OpenNIC, an alternative community-based DNS network. I guess OpenNIC also maintains .geek, .free, .null, and several other top-level domains. So, they're trying to figure this all out, how this is going to be done. But can you imagine if there are websites and stuff up that are essentially not able to be taken down, or domains can't be seen? Servers can always be shut down. But imagine having a domain name that really is not attainable by any agency or government. Some pretty crazy stuff. And that's taking it to the man. It really, really is. So a lot of these sites that are operating on the fringe are also basically ditching their .com domain names and switching to domains like .me and some other country domain names, even .ch. They're picking up Chinese domain names because they feel that's going to make it semi-safer for their websites, and that the U.S. government Department of Homeland Security and Immigration and Customs don't have as much control and being able to take down sites with a .me or some of these other top-level domains. So that's some of the other stuff that some of these sites that are running on the fringe are doing as well. So, and also torrent sites are looking to move their sites to offshore, to countries that are a little more, less willing to prosecute people. So, believe it or not, some of the sites are saying that they may move some of their servers to China, and I thought that was pretty crazy. And I understand they're picking up the .ch domain name, but it blows me away that they're considering actually putting their machines in China behind the Great Firewall. I don't fully understand that, but that is some of the thought process some of these guys are using, which is pretty crazy in itself, in my personal opinion. But a lot of stuff going on in the peer-to-peer space. The government really pissed a lot of people off basically taking over these domains, and I understand why they did so. You know, they did so because of, illegal goods being sold on them and a lot of activities that were hurting, regular companies out there. So, nothing like something like that to get those that are operating on the fringe to be upset and move forward with a new type of infrastructure. Good article on torrentfrink.com about the individual and how the Call for Duty Black Ops was basically available via peer-to-peer, before it was actually on the store shelves. And here's the thing that blew me away. The story's kind of interesting in the aspect that they talk about how it got released and actually paying for discs before it was actually in stores. But they're saying that this particular game is probably going to be in the top 10 of all downloaded media files. And here's the thing. What does that game cost? $50? You know, I don't know because I don't buy them. Let's say $60. You get the disc for $60, right? So it blows me away that people would, hundreds of thousands of people would download this thing to save $60. That's the thing I just don't understand completely is, and I guess people just don't want to pay for stuff. But I guess it's big. It's big business for, you know, for these folks to share these. You know, but I don't know. I think I'd rather have a disc in my hand that I purchased. And, but huge, huge numbers of people are not following the adage. So I guess it must mean that their Xboxes are hacked because I thought these, you know, I don't know how the protection mechanism works within Xbox 360, but I would think, I guess they can load these up and they work fine. I don't know. You know, those of you that have downloaded any games, maybe you can send me an email privately and tell me how the whole process works. Because honestly, I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see how this ends up, but I guess this is big business. All right, let's talk about Verizon LTE for just a second here. This is big, and actually, I'm just a little bit blown away by the pricing. But let's think for a second here. Let's talk about LTE and the speed. Verizon's 4G LTE network is so fast that you can use up your entire 5 gigs of bandwidth that you can pay $50 a month for in as little as 32 minutes. So if you're at high speed and you're trying to download something big, you can use up the entire month's worth of bandwidth in 32 minutes with the LTE 4G speed. So what they've done here in pricing is Verizon is, in my opinion, this is ridiculous. Now, check this out. For $50 a month with a 2-year contract, you can get 5 gigs. For $80 a month, $80 per month, you can get 10 gigs of data. So here you're going to have this 5 to 12 megabits down, this great downlight pipe, and you're going to charge $50 per month for 5 gigs or $80 per month for 10 gigs. Every gig you go over, $10, please. Do you know what it costs a gig? A gig in the server world, when you're moving high, you know, let's just say you're moving, you're just with a regular hosting provider. It costs, well, for most hosting providers, your bandwidth probably costs them 6 or 7 cents a gig. But if you're going to just on the open market, go over to Amazon and buy a gig's worth of traffic, I think you're paying 19 cents. So that 19 cents of bandwidth that you would pay over at Amazon, the folks at Verizon are going to charge you $10 for that same 1 gig of bandwidth. There is something seriously wrong with these people. They are putting an absolute unbelievable premium on their product. Now, when it launches in the 38 U.S. markets and 60 airports, they are only going to have it available for on a stick. You're not going to be able to have this in a phone because there's no phones yet. So, of course, you're going to have a high-speed connection. You're going to use it like a high-speed connection. I'm afraid people are going to get some bandwidth bills. They're just going to blow them away. I think they're going to just fall out of their chairs when they get them. Because when you got high speed, you use it as high speed, right? Now, the folks over at GigaOm have done us a favor, and they've broken out the 4G services. Which 4G is right for you? And I'll just have this linked up in the show notes. Of course, T-Mobile's claiming now to have the fastest 4G or the biggest 4G network. And I'm kind of curious, any of you been using the 4G network from T-Mobile? How is it? What's the speed? What are you seeing in transfer rates? You know, do a speed test on a T-Mobile 4G and let me know. I want to hear about it. You know, I don't think it's as fast as they're claiming, but I'd love to hear from someone that's on T-Mobile 4G. But And of course, you got AT&T, Sprint, Clearwire. You've got T-Mobile, and of course, the Verizon Wireless. So this is a good article. I have it linked up in the show notes for you to review. I found an article tonight on thatsnotfunny.com, and it talks about Netflix. And it really kind of set me back a little bit because it made me think a little bit about what potentially could be happening with that service and where it's headed. Now, it was announced today that Netflix is willing to pay up to $100,000 for same-day run television programs. So in other words, whatever's running tonight on national TV, it'll be available at the same time on Netflix. So you don't have to use your, you know, you could use Netflix to get that content. So they say they're willing to pay $100,000 per episode for that. But here's the thing that I find interesting in this write-up by thatsnotfunny.com. With the networks putting pressure on digital distribution, they are seeing companies like Netflix, they're saying these guys are profitable, they're making a lot of money, we've given them content at a reasonable rate, and they're going to start increasing the price of the content. They're going to start charging Netflix more money for that content. So, and I'm sorry, I'm yawning here. I don't know why. What they're fearing is that the television networks are going to push Netflix into an online distribution channel system that's going to evolve the same way as traditional television. In other words, they're going to go to Netflix and they're going to say, okay, Netflix is going to say, all right, I want X programming from NBC, I want X programming from CBS, I want something from TNT, I want something from TLC, I want something from the Discovery Channel. And those owners of those networks are going to say, oh, yes, you can have Discovery Channel so long as you take the 10 other channels we have. And they're going to bundle those together the same exact way in a price that they do with the cable providers. So that at some point here in the near future, Netflix is going to have to tell all of us, well, instead of paying $15.95 a month, you're going to have to pay $45.95 a month for streaming services with Netflix. Because they're going to bring all this content in, and you're going to have to pay for it just like you do traditional television programming. So I hope this doesn't happen, but I could see the methodology that these executives are, you know, based upon stuff I've seen at conferences and so forth, I'm almost positive this is what's going to happen. So I hope Netflix is very careful as they start asking for more and more content that is basically zero day. Same day it's on TV, it's the same day it's on Netflix. Because we may get into a situation where Netflix is no better than our cable provider. And matter of fact, we have to have our cable provider provide our internet connection, and we're using more bandwidth because Netflix has got more programming on it. At the same time, the cable provider says, oh, I'm going to put caps on you. You know, things could get very expensive for us. So we're going to have to watch this as time goes through. So I hope you guys are following me on this point. So what do you guys think? Think this could happen to Netflix? Are we going to be affected by this? Are we going to be impacted? If you think we are, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Now let's talk a little space news here. Shuttle Discovery's final launch date is still unclear. NASA has not yet set a firm launch date for the final flight. This is after an hours-long meeting today to review technical issues. So they basically have not decided what date that they're going to launch. So, you know, the mid-December launch window opens on December 17th and runs through December 20th. So we'll see if they're able to make this, but they got to make the decision very, very soon whether or not they're going to make that. And I don't know what where that pushes them into January, what the launch window is for there. But they have a very specific launch window they have to hit based upon the International Space Station and height and trajectory and all that other stuff. All right, let's talk just a little bit about NASA's big announcement today. You had to be asleep or not watching any news to get this, but NASA has found alien life, but it's been found here on Earth. The much-anticipated press conference announced that they've found or basically developed a bacterium. Actually, it was found in a California lake. It's called Bacterium GFAJTAC1. And what it does, it uses arsenic to survive. Now, I read somewhere else that this is so unique that the scientists are about jumping out of their skin, because everything else on Earth, you know, requires certain elements to live and grow, and they're pretty excited about this. And so what they say here, scientists had regarded phosphorus as one of six key ingredients, along with carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and sulfur, that those of us on Earth need to survive. So by finding a microbe that substitutes arsenic for phosphorus, they say it's like coming face-to-face with the fictional Horta beast from the science fiction TV show Star Trek. One of the scientists said the Horta was based on science fiction rather than carbon. He says, in our mind, this is the equivalent of, it will ultimately change the way we define life and perhaps the way we look for it. So this was big, and they didn't have to go to Mars to find it. They found it a lake in California. So they're pretty excited about this. And I guess from a scientific function, I would be too. But it's big. It's really, really big. So we'll see what happens with this, and as they talk about it more. Hey, Cassini is back in action. You know, it was down for a little bit when they had some health issues with the spacecraft. But this thing has taken some amazing pictures, folks. I'm going to link you up in the show. Wait till you see this. This is space pictures on crack. These are beautiful. The picture that blows me away is the one I'm putting up right now for those of you that are watching. This is a picture of spray from a fissure on Enceladus. And this picture just is amazing. Another one that's pretty cool is a close-up of one of, obviously, one Enceladus pretty close and in a real tight shot. But I know I'm probably destroying the planet's name there. But this one image just makes me go, hmm. And I actually put this up on my computer screen as this new background. I just want to look at it more. It's unlike any picture I think I've ever seen. But it's very, very cool. And I'll have the link up for you in the show notes. A little more space news here. You know, for a while, I guess I can tell this. When I was spending a lot of time in Waco, Texas, the company L3 out there was the company that worked on SOFIA. Of course, SOFIA is the Stratospheric Observation for Infrared Astronomy, and they actually had that 747 in the plant for a number of years doing the modification work on that. But kind of excited today to notice that the SOFIA telescope has made its first science flight. They flew for 10 hours. Of course, SOFIA has a 10-foot or 10-meter, it's a German-built 2.5-meter, 100-inch reflecting telescope. And on its initial flight to gather science, the plane flew about 10 hours. And they say that this is, this is pretty big in the accomplishment range for SOFIA. So the aircraft is expected to have a 20-year lifespan. And they're going to be cruising between 39 and 45,000 feet. And obviously, they put this in the aircraft to be able to take it places and fly where it's really, really dark and basically get good angles and so forth and get higher in the atmosphere than what they could with a natural telescope. So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes for you. What's kind of cool, you know, I saw this thing sitting in the hangar for several years and when they were doing the modifications on it. In health news, stem cell sprays are healing burns. A new spray solution of a patient's own stem cells is healing their severe burns. So far, early experiments by the University of Utah pilot projects are showing some remarkable results. They're saying what was once a serious burn on an individual's foot is healing nicely now because of a topical spray. And the individual had diabetes as a complication, but the small but open wound had not healed after weeks of failed treatment. So Dr. Amelia Cochran, not related to me, with the University Burn Center, says, with a wound that is open for several months, as this patient suffered prior to seeing us, worry about a pretty heavy bacterial load there. But they used this stem cell spray to treat this. And they're saying that here in the near future, this could come to a point where the skin reheals itself to the point where it actually doesn't even show a scar. Obviously, the military is keeping a close eye on this project. The future of treating burns on soldiers could stagger the imagination even more. She says, regrowing your own skin in a bioreactor is very realistic, and that's not even 5 years away. Said, with a start with a biological Band-Aid and hope to end up with a basically synthetic skin that's still derived from your own cells. So that's some cool stuff. They're going to grow your own skin from your own stem cells. That to me is like, wow. So science is moving, folks. Exciting time. It really, really is. Hey, remember when you hear a commercial and the volume goes up? Matter of fact, my wife was asking me about this the other day. Congress has passed the bill to stop obnoxiously loud commercials. So hopefully within a year, we'll have something, some rules in place by the FCC to not have these changes where we have to reach for the remote control and turn the TV down during the commercials. A lot of perspective going on the potential announcement by the FCC and their net neutrality talks. Yesterday, the FCC communications chairman unveiled a framework for the regulatory agency's net neutrality efforts, with the idea that a broadband provider cannot interfere with the delivery of lawful bits over its network. Now, apparently, that received fairly lackluster support across the board at the FCC. And what is being said is that the board members at the FCC are trying to figure out how the ISPs are going to work around this and try to, you know, bypass the rules. But there's a pretty good discussion today in a blog post today over on Reed.com. And this is David P. Reed. He's a developer of several networking technologies, corded internet. He talked about some compelling counterpoints that the FCC has. And one thing I like to read here to you that I thought was interesting, it says, the key distinction here is that letting the users, through their applications, choose their what their packets do and where their packets go and specify what priorities they need is quite different from having one link in the chain. What they're worried about, and I'm not reading a quote here, is that the last mile provider is effectively doing a runaround. So anyway, it's kind of interesting here that the risk that there could be from the implementation of some of these new regulations. But this is a good write-up, good review by this guy by the name of David P. Reed. And he had some clarity to it that actually kind of talks about maybe the FCC is actually almost on the right track here. But again, there's all kinds of stuff, these loopholes that may come into effect by the internet service providers and so forth. So have the link up in the show notes. You guys can do the deep read on that. As announced earlier in the week, Amazon has unplugged WikiLeaks. Don't know if it was because of Senator Lieberman or not. I'm glad to see that Amazon unplugged whatever they had on their EC2 Elastic service. So I guess Amazon's been asked to tell Congress exactly, you know, how much services that WikiLeaks was using. Senator Lieberman has also introduced some legislation. I don't know if I have that linked up next or not, but we'll talk about that here in a second. But Amazon did post an explanation of its decision. It says, there have been reports the government inquiry prompted us not to serve WikiLeaks any longer. They say this is inaccurate. There's also been reported it was prompted by a massive denial of DDoS attack. That, too, is inaccurate. There were indeed large-scale denial-of-service attacks, but they were successfully defended against. Oh. Amazon Web Server rents computer infrastructure on a self-service basis. AWS does not pre-screen its customers, but it does have terms of service must be followed. WikiLeaks was not following them. There were several parts that were violating. For example, our terms of service that you represent or that you own. Otherwise, control all of the rights to the content. So that was one of the reasons why they dumped them. said it's clear that WikiLeaks doesn't own or control, otherwise control all the rights to the classified content. Further, it's not credible that the extraordinary volume of documents that WikiLeaks has published could have been carefully redacted in a way to ensure that they weren't putting innocent people in jeopardy. So that was the feedback from the folks at Amazon. I applaud them for shutting them down. They're still online, but they had to go somewhere else. How many of you like native apps over store-bought apps? How many of you like when you go to a website on your mobile device? And I'd really like to hear some feedback from all of you. A tenant of an article over at Almer, A-L-M-A-E-R.com, the tenant of the article is that native apps are always better than web apps. In other words, an app that you buy and you put on your phone is always better than basically going to www.domain.com and being able to use a web-based app that has been built to work real well with a mobile device. I personally think, from a control perspective and not being locked into someone's walled garden, that web apps are better than native apps. In other words, an app that you load. But they don't agree. What do you guys think? I'd love to hear his feedback on that. Just let me know is a way to kind of confirm or deny what I'm thinking. Hey, one thing I do want to talk, last thing I didn't talk about on WikiLeaks was that apparently the Russians are watching what's going on with WikiLeaks because apparently they've got some documents from Russia and China that they're getting ready to put on the site. You know, the Russians operate a little different than the Americans do. All I can say is anyone that's involved with WikiLeaks, if you've got the Russians looking at what they're doing, I would be fearful for my life. As this article on Slashdot says, the Russians play by different rules. So be careful. Of course, I did say here a few minutes ago, but Senator Lieberman has introduced any WikiLeaks legislation. And basically what the legislation is it's called the SHIELD Act. And it would prevent media firms like the New York Times and other companies that do online media or even a TV or whatever from revealing stuff that could hurt somebody. Makes this so basically what it is would help amend a section of the Espionage Act that already forbids publishing classified information on U.S. secrets overseas. Says this bill would extend that prohibition to information on human intelligence, making a crime to punish information concerning the identity of a source of or informant of an element of that community of the United States. In other words, they're trying to get it so that it would limit what could be put up on the New York Times. So it's interesting here that he's pushing this through. We'll see where this goes. Hey, just got to warn you here. If you're using Internet Explorer and you're visiting a variety of websites, researchers at the University of California, San Diego have discovered a bug that many sites are using to track browsing behavior of their visitors. The flaw found on 480 websites, including YouPorn, Prez Hilton, and Wired, are reportedly reveals all the sites that each user has previously visited. Of the 485 sites affected by the bug, 63 are found to be copying the data, while 46 were hijacking user information, usually to target ads to find out which rival sites the user had visited. So fair warning here. If you're using the new version of Firefox, if you're using Opera or Chrome, you're safe. But if you're using the old version of Internet Explorer, you are susceptible to being tracked if you go one of these 485 sites. Got a good article about how the FBI in Milwaukee were able to track down the King of Span when he was at a trade show in Las Vegas, how he was arrested. I have that link up in the show notes for you. Got a good article over on Extreme Tech about the Large Hadron Collider, about showing the early universe primordial soup, about basically they're crashing lead ions together, and they're getting some pretty cool stuff from this. Did you know that 2 weeks ago that they announced that they created genuine antimatter for the first time because of the experiments going on with Hadron Collider? I got a whole bunch more stuff here in the link of the show notes, but I'm out of time from an article perspective, but one last article over on Wired talks about how the feds are warrantlessly tracking Americans through credit cards in real time and also through travel sites and so forth. I have this link up in the show notes. You can check that out. Basically, agents can write their own warrant to get access to your data. Then they can follow that up with a written one from a judge later on. But it's kind of scary that they can just track you just on their own handwritten warrant. It is a little bit surprising to me. Actually, a lot surprising. All right, let me go ahead and play the voicemail that came in. This is rather long, and then we got a bunch of email to get into before I run out of time here. So let me go ahead and we'll play the voicemail, and then I'll get into the email comments. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Here comes the voicemail.
Hi, Todd. This is Mark in Cincinnati. It's Thursday, December 2nd here, so I guess you'll be recording the Thursday night podcast in a few hours here. I just got finished listening to Monday's show. You were talking about the Microsoft's plans for the Xbox, and I hope they go through with getting some TV content on there, because like everyone else, I'd love to cut my cable off there, and maybe we'll be doing that anyway. Because for me, the Xbox is just, it's a great media streaming device. I use the Zune software on my PC as the as my podcatcher, and either listen to it on one of my Zunes, or I've got a new Windows Phone 7 here. The video ones I watch, I download the high-def streams and then use the Media Center extender to stream it to my TV. So that works out really nice. So, yeah, they have the Zune software is on the Xbox, but yeah, you can't actually go and get podcasts directly from there. You can't do it on the phone either. You could, yeah, the marketplace, but you can only get music and movies. They haven't connected the podcast marketplace either on the phone or on the Xbox. So, I for one, I hope they do that. So maybe you can hit up Rob Greenlee next time you talk to him. He kind of got an inside channel there.
He doesn't anyway, tell me nothing.
On the Windows Phone 7, I've had mine about 3 weeks now. I've really been enjoying it. I got the HTC HD7 with T-Mobile. It works really great for video and audio podcasts. I've added it as a Zune device. I'm still kind of going back and forth between this and my Zune HD, because I also listen to audiobooks on there. There is a podcast app in the marketplace I put on there.
I heard about that.
And it lets you go from your phone directly and pull podcasts. I looked in the science and tech section, and your show was not listed. I couldn't find it in there. But when I did a search for it, it found your show. But I did notice it was two or three episodes behind. It wasn't quite current. It looked like most of Leo's shows and most of the Revision 3 shows and quite a few others were in there. It looked like it was kind of a mix, so whether some of them were up to date, some of them weren't. I don't know how they're set, how often they're checking the RSS feeds for updates. But Leo and the Twit Network, they've got their app, which they didn't actually write. They got someone else who wrote it for them. I've got that on my phone. That works really well. It's got all of their shows on there. Then you can choose either the audio or the video feeds. That works really nice. So I'm hoping there's a GNC or Blueberry or Raw Voice app coming soon for the Windows Phone 7. That'd be nice to have on there for. If I'm away from my computer or something, I just want to get it, I can get it on my phone and go straight from there. So it's looking like it's going to be a really good platform. I really hope it takes off, so that more people develop apps like that for it. And I know it's a long call, but I also wanted to comment, my heart just really goes out to you and your family, and whatever you believe or don't believe, I continue to pray for you and your family and your cousins. And so I know it was a difficult time. I've raised two sons of my own, I've gone through the divorce and raised them on my own for 11 years. And So, yeah, my heart really goes out to you and your family, and I continue to believe that, you know, get some positive outcome, hopefully, out of this. So, anyway, my best to you and yours. Thanks for the great show. I continue to enjoy it even after over 5 years now, so keep up the great work. Thanks.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the feedback on Windows Phone 7. And yes, we hope there's some apps coming for Blueberry, Raw Voice, and GNC. Matter of fact, the GNC iPhone app is finally back in work. So hopefully we'll get that into Apple soon. But I tell you, thanks for the words also on my cousin's kids. Yeah, it's just a tragic situation. And we remain hopeful. And we thank you for your thoughts and prayers. It is appreciated greatly. For me, it's standing kind of on the outside. It's obviously different for what's going on with my cousin. And of course, I'm real close to, my aunt. She's the next youngest in the family, oldest, of the grandchildren, and she's the next one down. So I know her probably the best of any of the cousins. So, you know, it is tough. And, boy, we just, again, we're hoping for a positive outcome as well. But thanks for your comments. Hey, got an email here from Jim. He said, hey, Todd, hey, check out NASA discovery of arsenic-borne organisms. Yeah, Jim was all on top of that. That was all over the news today. Thanks for your feedback on that. Got an email here from Doug. He said, hey, Todd, I'm a recent subscriber to the podcast from my BlackBerry podcast app. Totally love the show. I want to share a link to a funny video we made for our IT support company. Thought you and maybe some listeners might enjoy it. Very cool. I'll have it linked up in the show notes. And yes, I like the way of the ninja. So thanks for sending that over. We got an email here from Trucker Tom. He says, hey, scientists find 200 sextillion more stars in the sky. He says, the night sky may be a lot starrier than we thought. A study suggests that the universe could have triple the number of stars scientists previously calculated. For those of you counting at home, the new estimate is 300 sextillion. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 15, 18, 20, 23 zeros, folks. The study questions a key assumption astronomers often use, talking about how the universe is shaped and how galaxies are. And they figured out because galaxies aren't always flat. There's all kinds of stuff that they've come up with, but they're saying this is what the new estimate is for number of stars out there. It's huge. Got an email here from Bruce. He said, hey, Todd, this probably comes past your desk already, but just in case, just goes to show you this never went away. It kicked up a storm in the UK, but the article implies it's occurring elsewhere in the world. If you ever thought that HTTPS browsing was required to secure all your browsing habit, this is it, coming to a router near you. And I'll have this up in the show notes. And when you guys read this register article, it should be a little bit of an eye-opener. I'm going to save it for you as a surprise. Thanks, Chetta, for your email. Tom, thanks for yours on the another. Oh, that was from the last show. So I think that's it, folks. We're already long. So thanks for hanging out with me. It's been fun. Appreciate you staying subscribed to the show. Feel free to send your comments in. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And we'll be back here with you on Saturday for the Saturday Morning Tech Show. We'll start at noon Eastern. Excuse me. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So if you want to join us, come over to geeknewscentral.com. And make sure if you get a chance, go over and check out our new site that we're going to be that we've launched called tpn.tv. It's going to be where all our content is for the upcoming Consumer Electronics Show. So we're excited about bringing that site online, and we'll be doing a few events live, obviously, on the site prior to the show. So definitely check that out as well. But if you've been with me here on Ustream tonight, thanks for hanging with me. I definitely appreciate you hanging out with us as well. And if you're watching on the Roku, Boxy, Voodoo's, or even on the Samsung IPTV, thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll see you. Take care and aloha.